This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Teague, we are joined by CJ Nikowski, overall good guy, smart guy, former first-round pick, lefty out of St. John's in New York. And he's an analyst for Fox. We've known him for years. As a matter of fact, they used to do a show with CJ years ago here on CBS when we first started CBS Sports Radio. Well, that's when Spitzy had me basically working 7 days a week and mopping up the studio after and sweeping the floors as well. CJ, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
But look where it got you now.
Wow. Right? Look, wait. Where are you? Now you're a big guy. You're a veteran.
Look to your right. Look to your right. No, I'm home.
Look at this guy. Where is he? You're bumming me out.
I'm in Atlanta right now. I got my Comrex machine. That's where I do my MLB Network radio stuff from the house.
That Comrex is amazing.
Man.
It is. Remember when I was in Israel?
Yeah.
I had a Comrex. It sounded like I was sitting right next to you.
That thing is sharp.
For people that don't understand me, just a little portable unit. You can do radio shows from anywhere as long as you have an Ethernet connection. They even have a cell kind of attachment to it. That's certainly taken a big chance, though, as far as quality of sound. I've never used it.
Yep.
Or even Wi-Fi, for that matter. But, yeah, these things are unbelievable, which is great for me because I live in Atlanta. You know, I do 100 Ranger games, but only about 40 of them are home games. That means the other 60 are on the road.
Yeah.
And so to be able to do the MLB Network radio stuff for me is huger to do hits. I'll do some here and there for CBS. I do a regular show in Dallas. I connect with them that way. And, you know, it just always sounds a little better whenever you can do it.
Well, listen, CJ's a guy you got to follow on Instagram, on Twitter. He's a smart guy, not afraid to let you know what he's thinking. I enjoyed the video. You were peppering your son, your little guy, Lefty.
Tiki, it's going to be you soon, buddy. You're not that far away. It's fun, man.
I can't wait, man. But he's got a little oppo power, I noticed. He was banging some line drives the other way.
Well, which I think is good for parents in general. When you start thinking about, you know, hitting with your kid, and don't get caught up in what's happening right now at the big league level, right? Getting the ball in the air, all the launch angle, everything else, hit it high in the air. That's great once you get to the big leagues and you're strong enough to hit the ball out of the ballpark. When you're a kid, you know, my preference is that you try to take that Jose Altuve track, right? Become a good hitter first, hit line drives, try to hit line drives all over the field, and the power will come. You can add the power later. Elvis Andrews has been on that same kind of path, and most of your great hitters, that's usually how it goes. But if you got your kid uppercutting or trying to get in the ball in the air too early, he is going to become one-dimensional way too fast. He's going to get exposed. So we try to go line drives, but it's fun, man, because I go whatever I have left in the tank, which isn't much. Full-speed tennis balls from 50 feet away.
He loves it. Interesting.
With some bend on him, too. He's breaking
every
off
once
sliders.
In a while, I'll drop the slider in there.
CJ, I have an almost 16-year-old. He's playing JV up in Greenwich, and that's the big thing. He plays on these summer league teams, these American Legion teams, and all those dudes are swinging for the fence, man.
Yeah.
He's not strong enough because he's small like I was. So he's not strong enough. But he shouldn't be discouraged is what you're telling me.
No, don't become a line drive hitter, man. Go look at a lot of the great hitters in the game and kind of look at what they did over the course of their careers. I mean, how many times have you guys found yourself saying, you know, late last year, well, there's home run number 25, a career high for so-and-so.
Yeah.
It just seemed like every week it was a career high for all these guys that had to become better hitters first. Otherwise, you know, you can if you want to be that guy that hits, you know, 210, if you can get 40 out against big league pitching, that works too if you can do it, but it's not easy to do. But now become a good line drive hitter first. You're just going to have more value to your team, certainly at the amateur levels. And then if they think you got the good hand-eye coordination, if you're fortunate enough to get drafted, you can go from there and they can teach you power. But they can't necessarily teach you that good hand-eye and how to use the entire field. That takes a lot longer.
Boggs, Gwynn, Ichiro.
Yeah.
We saw an old Carew because he was past his prime, but, you know, based on our age. But Paul Molitor, Robin Yount, line drive hitters, point well taken. Yeah. And by the way, CJ, you know this as well as I do. If you don't have natural power, go get some PEDs, which brings us to what
that
happened.
That's not good advice.
I'm being facetious, clearly, but I wanted to transition to Robinson Cano. Listen, I don't know what the heck happened. I know that by circumstance, and maybe this is unfair, but I'll just point out a couple of things that we know. His best buddies with the Yankees were Melky and A-Rod, both got pinched for PEDs. You played with the Yankees. There's always been whispers with Cashman that he knew and that they were a little reluctant. Not, I mean, 10-year contracts is idiotic for anybody, but part of the reluctance was based on the fear or maybe some sort of knowledge that maybe he was dabbling with steroids. Were you surprised when you heard the news about Robinson Cano?
I was. You know, I still am surprised. Maybe I have too much faith in humanity, and people say, well, how could you be surprised? But I still am because I want to believe it's not true. As much as I'm frustrated by it like everybody else, and I don't buy into, you can't just say it's a medical, you know, deal that you were dealing with and then not tell us what it was. Like, that's just not going to work anymore. I know that you have your right to your privacy, but unfortunately in these situations, if you're not completely forthright in what's going on and what we've read about this story, it sounds like that he wasn't being forthright. You know, it's just a bummer, man. It's a bummer for our sport. So I am a little bit surprised for, you know, this great second baseman. We've seen him over the years. He gets the big contract, 10 years, that takes him through 2023. Now, just in general for the Yankees, I think it was probably a smart move from an age standpoint, length of contract, and Brian Cashman now runs that team the way that he has always wanted to run that team, and you're getting the product that you're getting right now, and it's an excellent one that is sustained for the long term. But, yeah, I'm just discouraged for our game. I'm discouraged. I never get it, man, and it's happened before. Like, I do understand the guys that are in the fight that are maybe they're trying to keep their head above water, trying to get to the big leagues. I'm not saying I condone it, but I get it when they make those decisions. But I don't get it after you get the big contract. That's the part I don't get. Like, you got it, man. You got 10 for 240. If you you had some, some ways that were dishonest to get there and you got away with it, well, you got lucky. Why would you take that chance again? That's the part I don't get.
I would say the pressure to perform to keep up with the contract you just got.
Yeah, I guess, man. And it makes sense, and I think it's legitimate. But that's, I guess, for my brain,
yeah.
I don't get it now.
Maybe,
you know, guys are so confident in that they can get away with things. And did you guys watch that documentary on Netflix?
Which one?
Was it like, about the cycling? I was like, I
didn't see that.
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable. You got to watch it, especially after this. And you'll see why. And basically making you feel like losing any confidence you had in PED testing, it all goes out the window watching this documentary and thinking, man, anybody can get away with anything. It was really, really good.
Wow.
It's like, what's it called? Like Carius or something? I think I'm saying it wrong. But it's really good.
Okay.
It's a couple hours long. A whole rushing doping scandal. It is absolutely fascinating and worth your time. And I think ties into at least the idea that more athletes can get away with it, and they make that decision if they got some really smart guys behind them. Got
to put that on the viewing list, which is growing at a very rapid rate these days, by the way. CJ Nikowski is with us, MLB analyst for Fox and MLB Radio, Texas Rangers broadcast team with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, CJ, just jump around some of these teams, and especially in the National League, there's some surprises. I mean, Atlanta's been a team that we've thought about for the last couple of years. They're constantly rebuilding. There's not enough talent. It's Freddie Freeman and everybody else. Mm-hmm. But this year, they seem legit. I mean, you look at the statistics, and, you know, the run differential, they seem like they're there to stay in the National League East. Is it true? Is it believable?
I think so. I mean, it helps that the Washington Nationals didn't get off to the start that we all expected. Now, they're still a good team, and they're six games above 500. There's a long way to go here for the Braves, but first of all, they're really fun to watch because they got the young, exciting players that people like to see cross-controlled. I didn't like what they did with Ronald Acuña Jr., which was holding him down, and just the way we saw with Chris Bryant a couple of years ago where a team knew they probably had a star in the making, but you keep him down for 15 days, so essentially you have 7 years of control instead of six before he hits free agency. It's perfectly legal. It's perfectly within their rights. I just hated that they did it for the kid and for the fans, because here's the deal. Like, what if they fall a game short of the wild card? Or two. And he missed the first two and a half weeks of the season.
But he only hit about .212 in the minors.
Well, he did, but up to that point, he dominated every level he had been at.
No, I hear you.
You're right, and dominated spring training. He crushed it in spring training. And spring training isn't everything, but he deserved to make that team.
He's a beast.
Now, it didn't work out. And, you know, I worry about that part. You fall a game or two short, which is certainly possible when you start talking about wild cards. The Nationals take care of business the way that they should. You know, maybe it comes back to haunt you. Maybe it doesn't. I hope for Braves fans that it doesn't. But I do think they're right there. I do think that they need to start having those conversations now. They're a little bit ahead of schedule. What can we add? Mm-hmm. Because they certainly have the minor league pieces to do it. They have a pretty deep system. They're seeing some things start to come to fruition at the big league level, but they still have some more pieces that people would be willing to trade for. Now, Manny Machado is a name that you get really excited about. I don't know if I sell the farm for him necessarily because it's only the rest of this year. Maybe a controllable piece, but no, I think they're in it for the long term. Certainly another arm in that rotation, maybe one with a little bit more experience. They got some pretty good young players in that rotation and on that staff. But I think they're legit. I think based on what we have seen so far, a couple of tweaks, and they could even make a challenge for the division.
Yeah, it's funny, not a whole lot of time left. We're talking to CJ Nikowski, but we were talking about the Braves yesterday. Came up, and I mentioned to Teague how they dumped Inciarte down to the eighth spot. I mean, if he's your eight hitter, he's a 300 hitter with 20 steals and a terrific center fielder. I'm with you. I'm buying the Braves. I don't think this is a mirage.
Yeah, and think about Nick Markakis. I always say this about Nick Markakis. Remember when he became a free agent with the Baltimore Orioles?
Yep.
And he wanted to stay in the worst way. They would not give him that fourth year on the deal. That was their hang-up.
I didn't blame him, though. CJ, I didn't blame him.
And this is year four. And you're right. I'm not saying it was a terrible
decision.
No power. But he's crushing it right now. This
well,
is
now
year
he
four,
is.
And yeah. you're looking at it, you're going, oh, wow, I guess they were wrong. And he, listen, I think he was on a little bit of a mission to prove them wrong anyway, because he's not a man of many words, but he was not happy about it. And he talked about it that first spring training when he had gotten to Atlanta. And so, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. And going long on some guys that maybe have injury history or whatever it may be is certainly something to be weary of. But it's kind of interesting to see him crush it in year four.
I know it's not the perfect comparison. I certainly wanted to get something out of Ohtani or about Ohtani from you. I know you hit in high school, and I think you were pretty decent.
I didn't hit in high school.
Oh,
I was a pitcher only by the time I was a sophomore, which
wow.
is really embarrassing.
Yeah, that is. I mean, that's a first-round pick. I mean, at least play first base when you're not pitching. CJ, jeez. I expect like 12 bombs and like a 462 average out of you back in high school.
Last legitimate home run I hit, I was 12.
All right. Well, that's still one more than most kids. But all right, so let me ask you this, though. A big picture with Ohtani.
Yeah.
Juggling, you know, the requisite work, whether as so much of it is monotonous for you guys, running poles in the outfield, long tossing, all the things you have to do to keep the body right. And also, you know, cutting on film to know what you're going to be ready when you step in the batter's box that night. How long can he really effectively juggle doing both? What is the long-term plan? What should it be for him?
Well, you got to think, first of all, there's no way he's making, you know, 30 starts or 28 starts this year. He only made five last year, right? And it wasn't an arm injury. He was dealing with some ankle and calf stuff over the last couple of years. And so you have that part. So I do think at some point, we'll only see him hitting for a couple of weeks. The question becomes, when do you do that? Right? Does it make sense to do that, you know, in the middle of the season? Do you do it at the end of July? Do you do it around the All-Star break, make it an extended break, but he's throwing the ball pretty well? Do you don't want him to get out of his groove, but you probably need his innings in September and potentially maybe even October for this team? So that's part of the deal there. But the bat is so good, man. We saw him in spring training. He looked so unbelievably slow.
Yes.
He was bad on like 90-mile-an-hour fastballs. I was like, oh, wow. And I remember thinking, you know, calling games to the Rangers. They were in on Ohtani. They were one of the final seven. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, maybe they dodged a bullet here. Well, that's obviously wrong. Because
how do you explain that, CJ?
It's a good question, man. I don't know. You know, a lot of guys, you know, I've been through it. I played over there for a couple of years. They do treat spring training a little bit differently. Not that they sandbag it, but it is a little bit different. I don't know what it is and how to explain it, but you do see guys do some things differently. And whatever it was for Ohtani, intentional or not, or whether he was just trying to get comfortable and trying to figure things out and maybe taking in more data and maybe not, I don't want to say he wasn't going full effort, but maybe just, you know, it was a time to acquire information and get a feel for how people were going to pitch him. I don't know, but it's been unbelievable because even the velocity is up. But he does both things so unbelievably well. I got to call one of his games nationally the other day, and he had a home run. The ball jumps off his bat unbelievably well. He runs him, you know, incredibly well. They're going to have to figure out, I think, a way to try to get his bat in there a little bit more and make this work. But I just think from a pitching standpoint, you're right. Day after is a big day. You blow yourself out so that you're ready to pitch again, in his case, in another 6 days, because he's only pitching on Sundays right now. So this will be interesting. They have a plan, but I'm sure they also know that they have to be open to adjusting that plan over the course of the year, because they are very potentially likely a postseason team. Without him, they may not be a postseason team, because the Astros are just too good. And so they got to get this right, and there is no roadmap for this. No one's done it before.
All right, man, we got to roll. Next time we'll get you up to the Yankees, mention the Astros, get them in, the Red Sox, the Dodgers. They're a mess. Some of the higher profile teams will certainly tee up on that. CJ, good work, buddy.
My pleasure. Great to talk with you guys, as always.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.